everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. This is Brian, William, and Misha coming to you live every day talking about HR with the people that make it happen out there. So it is a just amazing Thursday, Mr. Thin Cup. Frickin' just crazy. Crazy amazing. So
it is.
How
I'm doing well, brother. You made a big announcement yesterday. What's been the response?
It has been completely heartwarming and supportive. Had a lot of people just saying, what do you need me to do? Very excited. Heard from a lot of former clients and a lot of friends. And it just, you know, it's a little, it just gets overwhelming when you start stacking all the people that I think really do care. But I mean, you know, life is rolling by at 100 miles an hour every day. And so I'm, you know, as guilty or more guilty than anybody of not taking a second and just paying attention to what's going on. So people, I guess, you know, it just kind of gives them a moment to pause and lots and lots of conversations. It was really something. So thank you. So something that I did learn from that, by the way, just to dovetail in a little bit, is definitely don't be afraid to just tell your story, right? I think what I learned from, you know, the next chapter coming up and make it, you know, making some hard decisions, because I left, you know, I left a bunch of people and a couple concepts that I really do love, and I think the industry will just blow the industry up. And so hard decisions came with a lot of conversations. But at the end of the day, tell the story, because it's your story. And from that point, I think it was a lot easier for me just to move on. So, you know, and like flag in the ground, right? And I really, truly can just tell everybody, please do that. Just take the time and think it through and do that, because it just makes a psychological difference to pivot and move into the new concept or whatever you're doing, big difference. So, well, you know what? I think our guest has some amazing things to share. So don't get enough time with her. So let's get right to it. As soon as my good old screen will stop doing what it's doing. There we go. We're good. So, Cynthia Travella, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it, and congratulations to you.
Well, thank you again. That's, like I said, very humbling and overwhelming, the kind of the outpour. So, but we could spend all the entire show of me talking about me, because that is definitely my favorite subject. So let's get to something that is right there with it, and that is hearing what is up for, you know, up in your world. But first, introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and then let's roll into what's top of mind with you.
Yeah, sure. Well, my name is Cindy Travella, and I am a marketing strategist for NAS, Recruitment Communications, and I work with clients of all sizes and industries, working with them on their HR communications for recruitment and retention, and how they present themselves when they go out to market to job seekers. I also work with them on their employment branding strategies and, you know, really anything that's going to have a message on it that comes out of the HR department, pretty much work with our clients to handle that.
Nice. Cindy, I want to do this two ways. I want to ask you what's keeping you up at night, and then I want to find out and get some insight into what's keeping your clients up at night. So let's do the former. What's top of mind for you these days?
Top of mind for me today is clients struggling with either not being able to find enough people that have the skill sets that they need to conduct their business, and struggling with clients who don't have budgets to do what they need to get done. So there's a lot of frustration out there that I'm sensing and hearing from my clients. And it's, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm working with them, rubbing two sticks together to make fire rather than being able to, you know, get that flamethrower that we used to have and get the job done for them. So, you know, we're facing some challenges right now on a couple of different fronts. So I think money and lack of individuals out there who have those skill sets needed is a real problem.
Do you find that some of this comes down to that we're fishing in the wrong ponds, or that we're not engaging with new technologies or new mediums? Like, what's the main challenge that you see with folks outside of money? We all mm-hmm. wish we had a little bit more money, but other than that,
yeah, money is always going to be number one. I think that I'm seeing clients struggle with, well, in this day and age, it seems funny to say this, but there are companies out there still struggling with how to work with social media and leverage it in their favor and be comfortable with it. And that's always something that I always tell my clients: you need to be comfortable with the solution that you want to implement, whether that be, you know, using social media, you know, doing a job posting, putting up a billboard, you know, whatever that is, you have to be comfortable with it, and it has to be something that resonates with you. I'm finding that clients are still struggling with social media. They don't know how to use it. They're afraid of it. And that said, I will say that my clients who are now embracing social media, I have seen the evolution in their attitude and approach towards it, and it is immensely gratifying to me to see that. And it's immensely gratifying because I feel like I was a part of that, and I helped them by being there, right there with them, side by side, and you know, getting over those hurdles. So that is something that I see. I think technology, oh my goodness, every day I get at least two emails from a new vendor that has a product I've never heard of, and there is so much opportunity to learn, but it's almost like there are, and this may sound funny, but almost like there are too many options out there. And it starts to get very confusing, and it's difficult to keep up with everything. Very, very difficult for my clients. And being able to decipher which of those technologies are the ones that are appropriate for each client, that is so specific. And, you know, unless you're going to rubber stamp something and say, you know, this is good for this industry and this is good for that industry or this is good for this type of company, which I don't like to rubber stamp anything. I like to look at everything specifically for my clients and determine, is this right for them or not. It keeps me busy. It you know, because you got to stay ahead of that curve. You got to make sure that, you know, you're one step ahead and, you know, you're on top of what's the latest and the greatest. So I think timing is something that you know, that keeps me up at night. I'm going to say definitely timing.
Nice. In terms of social and mobile, case studies that you like to point to, whether or not they're clients or not, when clients of yours are saying, I don't understand social recruiting, how are we really going to use it, and you're trying to kind of point them in the direction of folks, who are some of your go-to examples on the social recruiting side, and also if you have some around mobile recruiting as well?
Yeah. You know, for social recruiting, I think that companies like Sodexo and Starbucks and Microsoft are great examples of companies that use social media for recruiting and use it very, very well. And they use it also very well as a platform for their employment branding messages, which is very, very important. You know, for mobile is still... it's still digging in and trying to establish its roots. Even though we hear a ton about mobile, and we have quite a few clients here at NAS that have mobile applications, but mobile is still something that job seekers as a whole are a little uncomfortable with. as far as applying through their mobile devices. They still prefer to use mobile to find opportunities, but having that information then forwarded on to another device where they feel that they can type easily without having any type of any issues with typographical errors. So that's something that, you know, mobile's still evolving a bit. And I know that there are applications out there that do allow for an immediate application to be submitted through mobile. And, you know, those companies, they're still working out their kinks too. But, you know, certainly mobile is now. Companies need to, at the very, very least, make themselves aware of it, learn all they can about it, look at statistics. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to get better acquainted with the workforce, understand who's applying for your jobs, where they're coming from, even something like a generational preference, perhaps. And I hate to use generations that way, because I think at the end of the day, if you're a job seeker, you're a job seeker. You're going to use whatever means you can to find that next opportunity, regardless of what venue it's through. But getting back to the employer, they really need to understand that it's going to happen. This is not something that's a passing phase. Mobile is here. It's gaining extreme momentum as we speak right now, and it's something that's going to be the way that job seekers are going to apply predominantly, and I believe in the near future.
Nice. You mentioned employment branding and a second ago, and I want to how do you know when you've reached kind of that aha moment with employment branding? This is, you know, you're working with clients, and some of them get it, some of them don't get it, et cetera, and you're kind of trying to give them guidance around what they could do, what they should do, et cetera. But for the HR professionals that are listening to the call, how do they know that they've reached that Zen moment where they've actually nailed employment branding?
Yeah, I think there are different indicators. I think that turnover is an indicator. I believe that companies that listen to their job applicants, that's a great way to understand how people are perceiving them as an employer. Also, your own employees, are they ambassadors of goodwill for your organization? Are they out there promoting the company? And not necessarily even for any kind of stipend, just because they believe in their organization, they love their company, they want to encourage other people to work there. That is a great, great indication that you have a wonderful employment brand. You've got people supporting it, whether that be job applicants or whether it be your own employees, companies that truly understand their industry and the types of individuals that they want to attract. And that in part comes from the way that companies position themselves and use particular types of messaging in their employment branding strategy. If companies are deliberate to hire certain individuals, then they need to target that messaging to resonate with those individuals, not messaging that's not going to mean anything to them. So understanding your workforce, encouraging your employees gently to become brand ambassadors, and knowing that they do it willingly because they believe in your organization, and understanding what types of messages and messaging resonates with the types of individuals that you want to reach. And you can never, ever, ever downgrade the value in receiving job applicant feedback. So one of the ways that companies can do that is during the interview process, ask those individuals, how was your experience in applying for the job? How did you find our jobs? How quickly did it take for someone to respond to you? Did you receive any notification that your application was indeed received by us? And then after that, how quickly did someone contact you? If it's a second interview, can you tell me about your experience during the first interview that you had, whether that was a phone screen, whether it was a face-to-face in-person meeting with a recruiter or a hiring manager? All of that information can be used to benefit the company and to help them learn about the people they're interviewing and to help them better craft their positioning when they are looking to recruit individuals to come into their organization.
How different or similar or different are the communication styles between for companies that interact with candidates versus in companies that interact with employees? And what I'm really trying to drive into is what's different between the internal brand and the external brand from a communications perspective?
Yeah. The internal communications may be more proprietary than external communications. And generally, employee communications also includes things like employee benefits, and of course, that's private. Employment branding is not just a one-sided item. It's not just made to attract people to come into the company. It's designed to keep good people inside the company. And generally, companies that query their employees and take an interest in what their employees are viewing and seeing and experiencing with their employer, that information should help an employer to craft what that employment branding message should be. And, of course, it should always be the truth well told. And I stole that from another agency, by the way. But employment branding is not only meant for existing employees or job candidates. It's also meant for prior employees. It's meant for customers. It's meant for vendors. It's meant for any kind of business partner. Because ultimately, who are the people that are coming to your company for work? The people who know about you. Oftentimes, how do people know about you? Because they're either a vendor, a business partner, they are a customer, they use your product or your service, and because they think it's great, it draws them to develop a greater interest in your organization. I am someone who totally believes that a company's next best employee is currently a customer or a consumer of their product or service.
Well, hey, Cindy, let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR, Ryan, William, and Nisha. So to come back to the term candidate experience that was mentioned, or candidate-centric was mentioned earlier, what's your definition of the best candidate experience?
Of a good candidate experience?
Yep.
Okay. It is one where jobs are easily found. It is one where the company has a great career site and information can be easily pulled and ascertained by a job seeker. It is an application process that does not make someone jump through a fire hoop to then only press enter and get a 404 error message. It is one where there is a communication, whether that, even though I'm not a proponent of the canned automated response, yes, we've received your resume, if that is currently what a company has and right now it is the only thing at their disposal, then use it. At least it is a communication. I believe that companies that hide behind thank you from the HR department or thank you from the recruiting team. I think a little more transparency is needed there. When a job applicant applies for a position and gets the automated message, for example, there is nothing wrong with seeing somebody's actual name there. And there are a couple of companies out there that do that. So in essence, I see it as a way that they're trying to say, you know, we're not going to hide behind, you know, our department name. We're good and we're comfortable and we feel safe in putting our own names out there. That's a great experience. I believe that when candidates are contacted and arrangements are made either for a phone screen or an in-person interview, that times are held. So if you say, let's talk Monday at 1 o'clock Central Time, that phone is going to ring at 1 o'clock Central Time. If somebody comes in for a job interview at 1 o'clock, they need to be engaged at 1 o'clock. You don't leave them waiting until 1:30 in the waiting room. And I've read some articles recently that really made me cringe in reading people's experiences when they go for job interviews or they're having a job interview over the phone. It's amazing, you know, some of the stories that I read, recruiters not being prepared, never getting a phone call, being left in the waiting room over an hour until someone came to retrieve them for their interview. You know, these are things that should never happen. Somebody's going to walk away from that experience as a job applicant, and it's going to leave a very bad taste in their mouth. And ultimately, they're going to tell other people who are going to tell other people who are then going to tell other people. And then we start nicking away at the reputation of that company and ultimately at the stability of their employment brand.
Nice. Let's talk ROI. HR needs to build a business case for more budget for communications, for social, and for employment branding. What are some tips that you can give the audience around? Here's some nuggets around ROI. When you have to build the business case for communication, social, and or employment branding, here's some elements that you need to have in your business case.
Yeah, absolutely. Metrics. Make sure you are documenting and following everything. You need to know where your hires are coming in, how much it's costing you to get those communications out there, what is your time to fill and the cost associated with that, what venues are working for you, what solutions are working for you. Oftentimes the employee referral program within an organization can be the best resource that a company can use to attract new talent to come into the company. So how well are you maintaining that program, and are you tracking every single thing that is attached to it? That's vital. At the end of the day, when it comes time to get more money or to get just a stronger foothold on what HR is doing in this respect, you have to talk numbers. Everything's numbers. You know, you show people numbers, you get their attention. You go in and say, well, I think this is going to happen, or I believe this is what is happening here. That's not a strong enough case. So documentation, and document everything, and have everything revolve around an analysis of those numbers. So don't just collect numbers and have a data dump. Make sure that you're analyzing all of this and tacking dollars to all of those metrics.
Nice. You and Steve Levy and Tom Bolt have a chat called Open Mic Careers Chat. It's obviously for job seekers. If you don't mind, tell the audience a little bit about why you've got this chat, what y'all are trying to achieve with it, etc.
Yeah, sure. Well, this chat was a bit of a labor of love for Steve and Tom and me. We are definitely advocates for the job seeker and the underemployed individual. We were very heavily involved in a different job seeker chat up until recently when that chat was put on hiatus. And you know, we felt like, you know, we want to continue this. This is a kind of a mission for us. It means something, and it's important. And given that we are such advocates for the job seeker and the underemployed, we decided let's build something of our own here. So Thursday nights at 6 o'clock Central, we have OMC chat, and it's a little bit of a different chat. We don't predispose questions out there to to the chat, to the Twitter chatters, if you will, that participate. We want them to come to us with their questions. So prior to the chat every Thursday, we query the individuals out there and say, hey, if you're a job seeker or an underemployed person and you have a pressing question about something related to your job search, get that over to us. We want to make sure that we get that up on Thursday night, and all the individuals who are participating in this chat will have an opportunity to voice their opinion or offer you advice as to what might be a good solution for your problem. So we're leaving that chat up to the very individuals that we're trying to support, those job seekers and those individuals who are underemployed. So we're not trying to put those questions in their head. We're leaving it up to them. William?
Sorry about that. I had a little glitch. It's all right. So, Cindy, have you had any surprises with the new chat? Like, it's went a different direction than what you thought, or there was some, like, nice surprise? I mean, anything different or just a lot of volume? What's going on?
Yeah. You know, because we leave all the questions up to the participants, you know, we never know what kind of questions are going to come up. So, you know, every question's a surprise, and that's okay because it, you know, keeps us on our toes. It keeps the people who participate in the chat on their toes, and it makes it, you know, for a lively conversation. It's kind of no holds barred. We don't edit anything, so, you know, people can absolutely speak what is on their minds. And, you know, like I said, it just makes for a lively chat. We enjoy it.
Well, that is great. We got about two minutes left, so tell us where you're going to be at, maybe the rest of the year at conferences, if people can meet you in person, and we get through that, we're going to be out of time and have to roll.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I haven't made any arrangements to attend any of the conferences this year. I may still attend the National SHRM Conference in Chicago. I haven't quite made up my mind about that one. I hope to get to some other conferences later this year, but I don't plan on being ultra visible this year.
Okay. Well, I totally understand that. I'll take your not being ultra visible. I'll take it all day long. Be extra visible for you. So how about that?
All right. Thank you.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much for coming on again. And folks, we are out of here. We will be talking to you tomorrow.